I'm Franny Benali, and you're listening to In That Number.
And then they lift one over the top for Danny Ings. He's in the box. Oh, onto his left foot. Brilliant. Oh, it's a fantastic goal from Danny Ings. He's done it again.
Here comes Ward-Prowse. Oh!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush, and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of ITN, our first of 2021, In That Number 102, Kindergarten Klopp. I like this one. We've been on a break for the last few weeks, but we are back to catch you up with our recent shenanigans, including our fantastic, amazing victory over defending champions Liverpool. And we'll give you a quick preview for our game next week against Leicester. All that and more. Yes! More. We have our goal and player of the month for December to go through, and you know, the usual thoughts and insights from Tim Bazance. But first, let me welcome back from his holiday the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Kevin, happy new year. How are you doing, old boy?
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, jambo buona, as I should say. Yeah, I am doing very well. I'm very well rested. I definitely need some time off, and I think it was a great decision looking back. Go to somewhere where officially coronavirus doesn't exist. So, yeah, that was nice.
Now, that was nice. So your break was good then. You had a nice time. And what did you get out to?
Oh, the weather was wonderful. So, yeah, just hanging out on the beach. It's quite a colourful place. So where we were staying in the north of the island, the sea's really nice. We basically just lazed around for a week. So I was, you know, so knackered after the really intense year that we've had. But then the second week went out on boat trips to look at and do a bit of snorkeling, that sort of thing.
What, did you do snorkeling?
Yeah, snorkeling. I always confused it with scuba. But yeah, snorkeling is just a tube, isn't it?
Yeah, the tube stays out of the water, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, with any luck. But yeah, it was wonderful. I definitely recommend going there if you ever get the opportunity.
I haven't got the opportunity at the moment, but yeah, it's
Feel sorry for you. You're cooped up down there in lockdown 3.
Lockdown 3, yeah. We'll have Tim joining us in a bit when he can. But Kevin, yeah, you missed that cracking result against Liverpool. I bet you were glad to be on the beach while we were playing. Wow, some remnants of football against West Ham, I suppose. And Fulham, you missed a Fulham game as well.
Yeah, it was to be expected, really, I think. The West Ham Christmas fixture is one that I've seen a few times over the years. And to be honest, it's never an absolute masterclass of the beautiful game, is it? It's normally just... two teams who are quite tired after a huge run of fixtures. And it tends to be... We're in the position in the table where it doesn't really mean a thing. They just play for a draw. Just fuck it off.
That's pretty much what happened, mate. So yeah, wish I was with you.
I was without internet practically for a fortnight, and
I bet that was good.
Yeah, it just makes you realise that it's all absolute meaningless shit. And yeah, as much as I miss watching the Saints, I miss two awful games and one legendary game, I think.
Yeah, that's a shame. Kevin, shall we get into the ITN news?
Yes!
This is ITN In That Number news.
Okay, ITN news then. I'll start off with the news that Stuart Armstrong has signed a new deal, keeping him here until 2024. That's a huge one, isn't it? I love this.
Yep, one of the things you'd love to see.
Absolutely, yep.
Big one still yet to be signed.
Yes, 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 yes. As you're all aware, we were supposed to be playing our third round FA Cup clash at home to Shrewsbury yesterday. However, it was cancelled due to an outbreak of coronavirus. Several players and staff members tested positive. Speedy recovery to all the players and staff who have tested positive. The FA are going to decide their fate early next week as to whether they're allowed to stay in the competition. But I guess, yeah, they just need to get healthy and worry about football later. So at least he was a dead cert to start there, wouldn't he? Or at least get some action there. It's destiny never to play, isn't it?
Yeah, just his luck.
Yeah.
We could be given a walkover. Am I right in understanding that if the FA decides that Shrewsbury are going to be, should have played it or whatever, that we'll be given a buying through to the next round?
Buying to the fourth round against Pompey, yeah. Oh, shit. I just said that name, didn't I?
Who did they beat in the third round?
They're playing Bristol City in a minute.
Okay, I don't reckon they'll win.
No, they won't. Yeah, I want to discuss Ralph's reaction with you at full time in the Liverpool game.
And, oh, we're going to talk about this now?
Right. Yeah, I want to talk about it now because it's news, and it's news because of what Fabio Capello has said about it, his comments in particular. About it being over the top. I quote, actually, completely over the top. So I want to discuss with you about this, basically. And my stance on it is, fuck you, Fabio, really. It really is. I mean, yeah. I love to see our manager with that passion and love for this club. It makes every single one of us proud to have him, right? And what right does he have to tell Ralph how to feel and show emotion on the field? It was an heroic job done by the 11 against... that potent Liverpool attack for 88 plus minutes of football. I just think Ralph should be able to let it out and express himself and don't let anyone tell you how to celebrate it. I want my manager like that. And, you know, it would make you run for a wall for him, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's entitled to celebrate however he wants, but it's not like it's something that he's controlling. He decided before, I'm going to collapse and in tears of joy at the full-time whistle if we win 1-0. It's just in that moment, and he's quite an emotional person anyway. You know, he was tearing up when the fans came back at that Sheffield United match, and yeah, he always cares. He always celebrates every goal, every victory. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and that's great because it shows that he's got the passion and he cares about the club, and the fans love that. And, yeah, all of these fucking idiots who've come out to call him out over it, they can all fuck. I mean, Fabio Capello is a robot of a man, and he's just an irrelevance nowadays anyway. So, Fabio, you've got your free PR for the week. Brilliant. I'm sure your agent's going to be very happy with that. You might get an extra interview. And what's his name? Simon Tosspot fucking Jordan of TalkSport. Mouthing off again just for attention. Fuck you, Mish. I mean,
yeah,
it's such an outdated concept that men have to hold back their emotions, not allowed to cry or, you know, express any emotion whatsoever. Yeah, that seems to be the sort of Stone Age opinion that these people, and that's quite, I mean, I don't like it when people talk about toxic masculinity, but, you know, that sort of macho pressure to be kind of, you know, stone poker faced all the time.
It's outdated.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it sends the wrong message, because that pressure on men causes all sorts of mental health issues. I mean, we've seen Fraser Forster suffering from that terribly, and he's only now back playing for Southampton. So yeah, any people who call him out for that, either they're jealous, or they're being biased, or they're just, well,
yeah,
just being cunts. But, you know, I don't mind it. You mean, listen, right? So yeah, Klopp celebrates the win with his usual fist pumping and running down the line and everything. You can react to that however you want. You can call Klopp a cunt. I mean, we do that anyway.
Yeah,
but that's just all part of football. I want to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see Klopp do it, but at the same time,
I don't care. I like it.
Yeah, I like the passion. Mm-hmm. And Ralph, you know, he's come off a tough couple of weeks. You know, having to self isolate and coming off the back of two disappointing results to Fulham and West Ham, play against the defending champions as well. But personally, I love the reaction, and I'm not ashamed to say it, Kev. I got a little choked up when I was watching it too. Tim, welcome, Tim. We're just talking about Ralph's reaction to the Liverpool full-time result. How did you feel?
The passion and dedication there just shows how much of emotions there are going into a little bit of everything. And that's number one. He's playing the former champions, fairly recently the former champions of Europe. And he has a long history with him. Combine that with, you know, personal items where his wife had a false positive test, alongside the historical elements of him just working and playing and not getting able to beat Klopp. They know each other very well. So it's a combination of all of those efforts to say, you know, there's just a barrel of emotions that all came out. And it's, you know, people could say there's no crying in football, there's no crying in soccer, whatever it might be. You can have emotion and show emotion. Don't ever hide the way you feel, because by hiding the way you feel, people think you're emotional, you're so going to be able to get run over by people. That's not the point. I'm just happy to see that he cares, and that emotion that he did provide, I'm ecstatic for not only for the team, but just recognizing the severity and the significance of the situation. There's a couple different factors. And, you know, once you get it all done with, it's like, I don't know, a good way to describe it is a marathon. You see so many marathon runners who bust their tail and run, and as soon as they're done, they just collapse and start crying because of the emotion of everything that was just completed. And to me, I'm so happy that he can show and express that way. And to me, that shows that he cares about it. And, you know, for everything that's going on right now, I'm really happy for the team. I'm really happy for Ralph for being able to get it done. And it's just a worthwhile of emotions, especially with beating Liverpool 1-0.
It's great, yeah.
I have got next round draw is tomorrow.
Yes, that's right. Fourth round. And just breaking news, Bristol City have just scored against those twats up the road in the FA Cup.
So. Fucking get in.
I'm going to put that game on instead of Crawley Town Leeds right now.
That's a sorry state of affairs when that's the best match that's on TV.
I don't know, there's the Marine against Spurs this afternoon. I want to watch that. I was watching BBC News at 10 the other day, and have you seen their ground? It's incredible. It's like they've got a massive, great big fence to stop the ball going and hitting the houses. Everybody in the back garden can see it. And on the fence, they've got like numbers. So if the ball goes over, they know what door to go and knock. That's amazing. So the ball goes over. Yeah, the ball goes over number 19.
Have my ball back, please.
Jose Mourinho's got to go around and knock on the door.
They must have a system of ball boys.
Hey, those guys those jerks just scored, by the way.
No.
No way.
Yeah, they took one back. It's 1-1 now.
Anyway, Kevin, any more news from you?
These women, their schedule's been suspended until further notice because the FA has decided to halt all training fixtures for non-elite football in England. Despite the ban on non-elite football, those skate bastards are still playing today, so I don't know what's happening there. Nathan Teller, he's been shortlisted for Premier League 2 Player of the Month award for December, so go out and vote for that. And other than the FA Cup draw tomorrow, which would be weird, there's a fourth and fifth round draw, so we're going to have a fifth round draw, and we haven't even played the third round tie yet. That's supposed to help scheduling in this busy time fixture period thing. The other news for Pochettino to Paris Saint-Germain. Good luck to him.
Goal of the month and player of the month for December, for in that number. Goal of the month then. 6 goals in the month of December. And we narrowed it down to 4 as usual. So you had the Vestergaard header against Brighton, Armstrong's deflected hit against Sheffield United, Redmond's low strike to see off Sheffield United, and Walcott's breakaway chip against his old club, Arsenal. Now,
that
this...
one would win it.
Yeah. Armstrong's deflected got 2%. Redmond's fit of nail in the coffin against Sheffield United got 17%. And Vestergaard's against Brighton was 26%. But Walcott's nice little chip against Arsenal steals it 55%.
Mm-hmm. Can't see why.
Yeah, that's a good goal. Lovely, lovely finish. Didn't think he had it in. And player of the month. A frustrating month that December was in some ways with all those... Well, those weak displays against Fulham and West Ham, the shutout loss to City. But we still had some outstanding individual efforts from our boys. So player of the month was always going to be tricky this time around. But we narrowed it down to four, as usual. Those four candidates were Alex McCarthy, Oriol Romeu, Yannick Vestergaard and Kyle Walker-Peters. Now, I'm quite surprised that this was such a runaway. Because McCarthy and Romeu had 4%. But Vestergaard, 19%.
What?
Yeah, Vestergaard, only 19%. But Kyle Walker-Peters, 73% of the votes. Absolutely run away with it. I thought Vestergaard deserved a little bit more than that, to be honest. But
did you guys get doxxed by some Tottenham fans?
Maybe. Well done, Kyle Walker-Peters.
Yeah, I think his performances might be more recent, in more recent memory than Vestergaard's. But, I mean, Vestergaard's been great throughout December. When he was there...
When he was there, all yeah. Right. Guys, should we hop on the transfer roundabout?
Let's do it.
Yes. Festive transfer roundabout.
Okay. Outgoings. I'll start with the outgoings. Michael Obafemi looked dead set to join Swansea City on loan, but the deal was off after he went down with a muscle injury. And he's had surgery now, so I think that would have been a good move for him, actually. I thought, you know, get some playing time, et cetera, et cetera. Josh Sims to Doncaster on a permanent could be done, although QPR have thrown their hat in the ring.
I've heard that he's quite keen to join Charlie Austin on the bench there at Loftus Road.
Yeah, Sims' contract is up in the summer, and... they'll be looking for a buyer soon, you'd think. But apparently, I heard he was quite happy at Doncaster, Kevin.
Yeah, well, this is a strange one, isn't it? But, I mean, yeah, QPR probably got a bigger budget for him than Doncaster.
That's the thing, yeah. Tyreek Magic Johnson has joined League One side Gillingham on loan until the end of the season. That's no surprise. I mean, he was out in America, wasn't he, last year at Hartford.
Hartford, yeah.
Dan and Lindelu, or Lulu, has attracted some attention from Spain. Real Betis looking the front runners. I'm not so sure about that one. I think he's likely going to get playing time with us. I'd like to see him stay and develop under Ralph because, you know, he is getting those chances. And, you know, especially if he wants to get rid of Obafemi. Well, Obafemi's not going to be here now because he's recovering. But, yeah, I'm not so sure about that one.
No. That seems speculative at best. One more. Valerie to Schalke on loan.
I've not heard that one. Oh, and obviously Danny Ings. I keep hearing Danny Ings. But you guys are refusing to believe me.
I don't know. I mean, you're kind of winning me around, but I want to stay positive.
That Man City, £50 million, ka-ching.
Is that enough? I mean, I'd want more.
But you look at his age, Kev, and you think what Man City could pay... Man City could pay that, no problem, right? They're going to get 2-3 years max out of a solid, prolific goal scorer. And if you know, if you let him run down his contract, he's going to be. We're not going to get anything for him. By the way, I'm not saying I agree with this. I'd like to keep him. Yeah, I'd like to keep him, but I just don't. I just don't think he wants to be here anymore.
Yeah, I think what's happening now is very special. I think if Danny doesn't understand that, he's definitely missing something.
20, you know, 50 million for a 28-year-old.
Still don't think it's worth it for us.
Oh, no. I'd much rather keep him than the money. He's worth, like you said to me, Kevin, he is worth more to us than 50 million.
What about Inns?
Inns? Brandon Williams still being linked on a weekly, daily basis, yeah. Rather, it seems. However, Newcastle were also interested, and the strongest candidates I heard were Everton. Bayer Leverkusen also showing their interest in him. But, I mean, I've heard that we did offer an 18-month loan deal, and it was rejected by United last month. And actually, he did get some action for Man United at right back in their third-round tie against Watford last night. I think Ollie will want to keep hold of him as backup, especially as, you know, United have progressed in the Cup now and they're continuing on in Europe. I think they want to keep all the people they can get.
It's probably sensible.
I think we have to say bonjour to that one, Kev.
Bonjour. Yes. Who else?
Damari Gray from Leicester. You fancy that?
Why?
Well, his deal's up in the summer. I don't know, Kev. I quite fancy a nice little six-month loan deal with an option to buy in the summer. Could be an important depth player. What do you think, Tim?
If there's no reason we should be not considering Elyounoussi, who, in my opinion, is at the same or approximate the same level as Damari Gray. And that's one person that we can actually have on our books, you know, rather than have to ship them off or whatever it might be, plus even if they are even given a loan fee for him up at Celtic.
Kev, you're not fancying that one then?
Not really, no.
We don't need another left wing. Like, we have so many left wing. I mean, we've got Gineppo. We've got Redmond. We've got, you know, Elyounoussi in theory. You know, Josh Sims. You know, I'd rather try out one of those guys, or hell, recall Elyounoussi, which we're not going to do. But I would do that considering over Damari Gray.
Yeah, get the youth in. See cakes on the bench against Liverpool last time round.
Yeah. Kev, I don't know if you're aware of this when you were away, but there's stories going around about a shock return for Graziano Pella.
Not the Saints.
Yeah. I just don't think it's worth giving that any more credence whatsoever. But I just thought, you know, that was one of the rumours that was going around that he could possibly come back. But with his mouth-watering wages per week, there is absolutely no chance he'll take a massive cut.
So you're going to say mouth-watering body?
No. Sorry, Kev. Sorry.
I could see him going to West Ham, though, because they just got rid of Halar and they've got all these different wages that they need a center forward. So why not at this point?
Danny Ings.
Not a chance in hell.
No, I'm not starting that.
Well, apart from Damari Gray, Hamza Chowdhury, have you heard this rumor?
Yes, I've heard that.
Again, not entirely enamored by this one.
No, not me.
Then we get into the unpronounceable territory, I think.
Well, I'll leave that one with you then, Kevin.
You know which one I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so obviously we're clearly talking about 18-year-old Northampton Town striker Kayla Chukwuemeka.
Yeah, I saw this on Twitter, and I think someone said, I can't wait to hear Dave Merriton say that.
They're just going to call him Chucky, aren't they?
Yeah.
He's so young, and I think it would be such a small money deal that it will go into one of the youth teams, you know.
Yeah.
Not even the B team, so we won't hear about him for a few years, you know. Just like we are Jankovic, you know, so it's one possible for the future. And also, Wellington Aparecido Martins, Brazilian defence. Midfielder.
Actually, I was reading about this morning.
Currently playing for Atletico Paranaense.
It's always exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You can just say, I've never fucking heard of him. And then we're soon saying, sign him. Best signing of the season. Yeah. We do have one in already, though. Young goalkeeper Jack Bycroft. He's come back from a loan spell at Weymouth after 14 starts. Kept two clean sheets in his time with the Terriers in the National League there, but they've sent him back because they want someone with more experience.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Right, Tim, me and Kev actually attempted to do a injury report, which we will, of course, cut out now, and you can do your own.
We failed.
Yeah, we failed miserably.
Miserably.
So take it away, Tim.
All right. So... wow, what an extensive injury list we have today.
Yeah, good luck.
So, first and foremost, let's go with Moussa Gineppo. We saw him crying as he left the Liverpool game most recently. Once again, continued hamstring issues that it appears that he's made of glass. It's unfortunate.
Everybody left that game in tears, didn't they?
Yeah, this isn't for one reason or the other. So seeing all that, trying to go without, trying to understand all these injuries without truly having the, you know, the wherewithal to know exactly what's going on, you know, he could probably be having circulatory issues at this point, where if it's consistent issue where there's muscular development problems, that if you have a consistent issue in an area, oftentimes for the ability for you to have an injury is because you could have constricted or restricted blood flow at some point. So seeing all these issues, you know, and what I mean by circulatory, it could be just genetic elements too. So I don't think he's out of fitness in any way. I think there is something anatomically or physiologically in his, you know, in his genetic makeup that doesn't allow for him to have those injuries. And so we know lots of people who have previous injury, who've had significant injury histories as well, that if they were unlucky because it was done by one specific instance, or if it was done by their, just their own body falling apart on them. So I wish him all the best, and I hope they're able to figure out why, what's going on. And maybe since he's only 21, you know, in a few years he can push past those things and his body will be able to adapt and recover very well. Romeo was out for a calf strain. So once again, these are muscular issues, and the majority of these items are muscular issues I'm going to talk about, but it doesn't appear appears to be super serious. I think it was more precautionary because we did see him in practice leading up to the game. They just didn't feel he was fully enough fit, and they didn't want to take the risk when Diallo was waiting in the wings. He's right there, and they probably just said, you know what, let's take a game and let's go from there. Yeah. So I expect him to see him come back in Leicester, either starting or on the bench against Leicester. Next up is the man, the myth, the legend, Salisu. Once again, there was muscular injuries that have been reported. I believe that he was taken out of the bench, actually, just because he was planning on starting him against Shrewsbury Town, and they wanted to give some of the youth a few more some experience by just giving them the bench opportunities. So seeing him, and they're talking about, oh, why don't we get him on the B team? Well, he's better than the B team. We know that. It wouldn't be a regression. But if he wants to do that to get his confidence level up, I would be more than happy to do so. So let's just see if none of those things are actually true, that those muscular injuries aren't continual from what it was leading up to, where he's been out for 3 months, and we're all that's going to be taken care of. So Vestergaard, his knee injury. So the injury occurred when it first occurred when he was on international duty playing for Denmark. And so the good thing is, you know, nothing. he was able to play on it for a few games, and there was consistent fluid that built up in the knee. That's never a good thing. So what they wanted to do is they probably had some type of small injury. They had some type of small arrangement where they were able to drain the fluid from the knee, and wanted to see the recovery process to see how his knee would be able to adapt and get rid of it. Right now, being able to have that old injury, they just felt that they couldn't push along any further, and so they just took him out. And that was the Fulham game, and he's been out. He'll be out for, like I said, 4 weeks. That usually type of recovery for the knee injury is about a week and a half, and then you want to build him back up to full fitness, thinking that a month is appropriate for him. We'll find out but this could be continual or long lingering if there's no continual recovering from it. Alex McCarthy, out for COVID. There's still a process that gets back into it. So knowing that he's a young and healthy person, and also him playing a goalie, it gives me a little more hope that there will be less of an issue when it comes to his recovery process when he comes back into the lineup. Redmond, hamstring injury. Couldn't find anything too detailed on it though, but they did say a few weeks or so for the injury. So he might be back here against Leicester. He might. Otherwise, he'll be back at the game after that. Nice. And the last one I wanted to highlight is Obafemi. And the reason is we saw he recently tweeted out a picture or Instagrammed a picture of himself where he was in he was on the gurney or the table or the recovery bed at the hospital after he had surgery. So seeing that he was ready to go to play against Swansea, but because of that injury, he's not getting loaned out this year or this semester, this half of the season.
This window.
He won't be loaned out. He's going to be taking whatever recovery process is needed, because no team on loan is going to want to even test that type of thing, regardless of the level of injury, if it requires surgery. So the reason I wanted to talk about that is injuries that require surgery. There's a couple reasons why there would be a surgery that would occur. Number one is that the structure of the injury itself would lead to the structure of the injury itself would not necessarily heal without a surgery happening, meaning that you need to have the surgery in order for it to heal properly or to heal 100%. Now, this for a layman like yourself or anybody else around here, where you could have a nagging hamstring injury, for example, that you might take the more cautious approach and may not want to actually go into having surgery. But for me, or for Obafemi, that is, it might be better for him just to get the surgery done to be able to get it fixed, because it could be minor, and that way the recovery process and it would be ultimately able to heal into 100% comparatively, leading to a further nagging injury. The other item is that it is a injury that did occur previously that could be nagging. So if the injury happened earlier and then it just got exacerbated even further, at that point in time, they felt that it was necessary to get that surgery. And that's my injury report.
Excellent. Good work, Tim. Good work.
Sorry about that.
All right.
Long-winded there.
That's cool.
Good use of the word exacerbated. How I normally feel after a long weekend.
Okay, we're going to chat about the West Ham game. We won't go into finer detail with this one because, well, A, Kevin didn't see this, and B, who wants to rehash that dreadful night? Suffice to say, it was a dull 0-0 scoreline with Ralph self-isolating. Apparently his wife tested positive, but it was a false positive. So, Tim, we'll go through this quickly and we'll get it out of the way. And, Kevin, you're off the hook for this one. You'll thank me for it, trust me. The 11 that we selected: McCarthy, Walker-Peters, Stevens, Bednarik, Bertrand, Walcott, Ward-Prowse, Romeu, Gineppo, Ings and Long. A bench of Forster, Obafemi, Vokins, Smallbone, Long, Armstrong, Salisu, Valerie and Diallo. So we welcome back Danny, somewhat surprisingly here. Romeu came back after his Boxing Day suspension. Gineppo stepped back in. You could say that we struggled massively in this game to create chances, but Ings did have the ball in the net and it was rightly ruled offside. But, you know, chances were at a premium. But on the whole, we actually defended fairly well. There was an occasion when we didn't, when we left Souček free at the back post from a free kick. And the best chance of the game came at the end, actually, from Benrahma, didn't it? But other than that, not really much to talk about.
NBC Sports has great Premier League highlights recap videos that are kind of extended highlights for the games. There was 13 minutes of it, and it was 13 minutes too much for actually watching this. This was a super boring game. There wasn't a whole lot going on outside of Ings's really good attack there in like the fifth or sixth minute. That real step over touch where he schooled Craig Dawson, just absolutely worked around him. Beyond that, I didn't find anything much of it just entertaining at all. It was really dull, but I think Ings had a terrible game even that time, except for that play. The only person I think that actually played well were Stevens and Bednarik.
Yeah, I mean, we'll try and take some of the positives like we did with the Fulham one, I guess. It's a point, and it's another clean sheet. And I suppose you could say Ings was back. And, you know, just that close City loss in the month of December with 9 points picked up. So, you know, not all that bad. You know, you take the point. But for me, it was another disappointment. You know, both these games were we were expecting max points, weren't we? Let's say Fulham and West Ham. But we had to suffer the whole, 90 minutes of lackluster performance. Ralph was away. And Kev, I thought Claude Puel had returned to the sidelines with Ralph away, to be honest. Just like watching a Claude Puel team. It was just, there was nothing. There was no creativity, no chances, really. It was just, really, really poor. And you're, you know, I think I would have rather have been on a beach, Kev.
Yeah, I mean, I must say, when I finally came round to talking about this podcast here, I completely forgot that West Ham match ever happened. I mean, I remember the
first one
and the Liverpool one. Well, it seems like most of the players did as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I say, I let you off the hook, but yeah, you got yourself off the hook for there. You definitely picked the right time. Just go for some stats with you. Dominated possession, 62%. We had 8 shots each, 3 on target each, so all fairly equal. You have to go deeper into the stats to separate the teams, but, you know, we had more touches, passes, corners, but they had double the amount of clearances. Lots of possession, nothing to show for it. No creativity at times. It's these sorts of games that we hoped to be turning around, don't we? Because these are the ones that we don't normally do well in. And do we have that player that can take a chance in a close game and make the difference? I don't think we do. We didn't, did we? But on the flip side to this, you know, these are the sort of games in recently that we lost. And, you know, without that linchpin Vestergaard and Stevens stepped in, and we should have had a little bit more focus. I think Stevens has been playing quite well. And we know in these tight, scrappy games, we're still going to be tough to beat. Man City had a tough time against us, didn't they? They only, you know, beat us by the one goal, and we made it difficult for them. And, you know, look what they can do to teams. We were kind of fortunate to take all 3 points against Brighton, but we still, you know, those sort of games, we just have to find that one person that can turn it around and turn 1 point into 3.
So the thing about us so far is that we are the team with the most goals compared to what their XG is saying. So we are actually one of the most, if not the most, clinical team in the Premier League right now. So to me, is that while we're actually not making the best of chances, we're finishing the best chances we can. And you can thank Ward-Prowse and a few of the Danny Ings goals for it, which are fantastic. But continuing through that, and you're saying, oh, we got the point. You're playing to the teams around you. So West Ham, at same number of games played, is at 26 points, where we're at 29. So in theory, if you think about it, okay, well, we took a point against a team that is right in our mid-tier, middle of the pack. That's fine. I'm more comfortable with taking a tie, even if it's a 0-0 dull game against West Ham, than I was against Fulham. So seeing both of these two back and forth, I understand it's okay, but when it was coming from the fourth game in a row in which we have scored, wow. I mean, we scored 1 against Arsenal, scored nothing against Manchester City, nothing against Fulham, and then nothing against West Ham. That was also what scared me the most out of it, is that it was 1 goal in 4 games, and we just didn't do enough there to make anything really happen. And I get tying, you know, if we tied 1-1 against West Ham, but, you know, the other games are, it's just, you know, that stroke of 4 games in a row at that time was not looking the best for us when we were sitting pretty with a lot of previous great results in the past prior to the Arsenal game.
But, I mean, what I'm trying to say out of that is that we did, those sort of games last year we would have lost, or even the season before that. I mean, there was a game last year when we dominated possession against Newcastle. I think we went to that game, and look what happened. They went and had 1 shot on target and went and scored from it. Those sort of games we were losing, but now we are difficult to beat.
I think you're thinking like probably fall 2019. I'm sitting on spring of 2020 pre and then just post lockout games, because we were a different team in 2020 than we were in 2019, and to me, you know, we need to show teeth against these teams. You know, when we had a 0-0 draw, dull draw against Fulham, you know, that stinks. You know, we need to be doing better than that. You know, Arsenal went down a player, you know, we had 30 minutes. We need to get 1 goal from when they're down or with a red card for 30 minutes. So seeing all this adding up, you know, I was fearing that we were reverting back to the mean, meaning that we were punching above our weight previously, and then these 4 games in a row were knocking us on our tail, keeping us where we're actually supposed to be at. So that, you know, we were thinking, oh, we can push for Europa, we can push high levels. You know, to me, this knock back down said we're going to finish 9th. Like, that's what's going to happen, and I understand that.
Yeah. Here comes the Ralph Express.
Here comes the Ralph Express. It'll be like maybe a month more. That's of like 3 or 4 more podcasts. That's all we'll have with this in the background.
That's a shame.
Well, I'm going to miss it.
Going to miss it.
I'll have to open my window. You can listen to the Belarusian Railway instead.
Man of the match for you, Tim, in West Ham.
Oh, God. I'm going to go with Stevens because he stepped in and he had a plug and play for the level of being out with Vestergaard. And that's two clean sheets in a row with him in the lineup. So, you know, I'm gonna take Stevens in that. And but the Stevens-Bednarek combo that, you know, while it was 0-0, you know, that's two 0-0 games in a row. That means two clean sheets in a row. So I think we talked about in our would you rather have a 4-4 or a 0-0 game? I said I'll take a 0-0 game any day in a row. And that's attributing to our center back play right there.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to go Maka because of that point blank save at the end. That's it, you know. But Jack Stevens did show up well in statistics. Most touches, most passes attempted and completed and most carries. But I'll still give it to McCarthy for that save. Without that, we would have lost. So, yeah. We'll talk about more positive things now and go into the Liverpool game then from Monday the 4th. Going in off the back of that disappointing draw to Fulham and West Ham, unable to find the net since the middle of December against Arsenal, and going up against the defending champions without the spine of our team, including McCarthy, tested positive, of course. Our record against Liverpool, surprisingly, is not great. Winless in 8 games against them and lost the last 6. All looking very grim with our lack of goals. But, you know, Ralph was able to return back to where he belongs and he gave us something very memorable indeed. A fantastic, almost unbelievable 1-0 victory. Goal very early on from Danny Ings. And what a goal it was too. The 11 then of Forster, Bednarek, Bertrand, Walker-Peters, Stevens, Armstrong, Diallo, Gineppo, Ward-Prowse, Walcott and Ings. So Forster making his first appearance at St Mary's since December 2017 and first overall since May 2019. Vestergaard still out, as is Redmond. Armstrong comes back in to replace Adams and Walcott takes his place up top with Ings. Diallo comes in for Romeu. At the bench of Harry Lewis, Smallbone, Vokings, Ramsey, Long, Teller and Lundeloo, Keggs, Chalka. Ralph said pre-match that Shea and Romeu had slight issues. We all know what it was now. Romeu was close but felt it was good to leave him out for this one. Taking all those injuries into account, this was the 11 we had. It was right, okay? There was no surprises, and there was no, but there was also no depth, Kev.
Yes, I mean, that's a very young bench, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Except for Long.
Yeah, takes the average out of it, doesn't he? But yeah.
Well, I mean, you need someone to look after all those kids, don't you?
It's a little crash on the bench.
Yes. Yeah, Long in a clown costume. tying up party balloons. Well, yeah, it's kind of getting desperate. I think you think an injury or two more, and oh, Jesus,
yeah,
one or two of those youth players be able to impress. But yeah, looking a little bit weak.
Yeah. Do we want to discuss their issues, their woes, because they were using two midfielders at centre half?
Yes, of course. I mean, that's a part of the game too. So they lined up with Henderson and Fabinho as centre backs. So they're hurting themselves, whether it be Reece Williams or I can't think of the other guys who they're you know, they have Matip is injured. They've got
Van Dijk.
Well, yeah, he's been out for so long now that I've forgotten that he exists, and it's probably a good thing too. But just seeing all that, they have some center back issues, which they better sign somebody at least on loan for this 6-month period. But
best to God,
yeah. Well, fuck them, fuck them. No, they ain't going anywhere near him unless he's out for the next 4 months, in which then you could pay his wages and then he'll return back to us. That'd be great.
If only, Kevin. It didn't take long to get going, did it? It was a perfect start inside 2 minutes and we get the winner. What can you say about that goal?
I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? It's a silly little flower on Stuart Armstrong from Thiago. Leads to a rather dangerous James Ward-Prowse free kick. Why do they keep giving away fouls in those kind of positions? Are they fucking stupid or what?
And a nice little, a nice high line that Liverpool were playing as well, defending that.
Trent Alexander-Arnold sucked that entire game, obviously for the game, but he he whiffed on that ball. I don't know what he did. He must have been playing. He must have been playing hungover or something like that. You got to check it, you know, check his BAC during that game. And he they took him out because he was playing so shitty. It was that bad. You know, you don't normally take out your right back for just about any reason outside of an injury. They realized he was so bad they had to put Milner in out of position. Mm. That was hilarious. It's hilarious.
But and that's not to take away from the free kick itself. It's a really fucking smart move. He's a crafty little fucker, isn't he, Brousey?
He is, yeah. And Ings's run, the timing of the run.
I mean, they must have known what they're doing. Rather than send it into the near or far post and that for a run in, he lets it bounce, like, you know, just on the edge of the inside of the area. And Ings, I mean, I don't know what kind of, I mean, acrobatics and what mathematical calculations he has to do that. But to be able to hook it from that angle over the keeper. And,
without looking.
Right corner. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Made him look like a fool. And
does he take it on his left as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just something else.
Sorcery. Yeah. Ings' 50th goal in the league as well. And the earliest one that he's ever scored. Officially timed at 1:51. As you can imagine, Tim, Liverpool right back at us. All the possession. All we had to do was just keep composure and shape. For 88 minutes.
Not a problem at all against the you know, former champions of, like I said, of England and then obviously of Europe a year prior to that. So it's not something we couldn't handle, though, because we knew that we did it against Man City the previous year. So yeah. Looking into it, if we were saying, oh, no, we're going to get beat, I kept saying to myself, we're going to have a 1-0, you know, we're going to sit back and we're going to draw 8 against it. And then we're going to high press, you know, we're going to counter press as soon as we quickly can and go from there. And we could do it. So I didn't lose faith. I was a little scared, obviously, because it's Liverpool and they're going to keep coming back. But then I kept seeing Trent Alexander-Arnold suck so bad that I recognized that it was going to be a great, you know, like we could do this. Like if he's playing this bad, they're going to have, it's an off game for them. And so combined, you know, this little worldly type hit where Ings, that I haven't seen him use his left foot like that except for that Aston Villa goal where he hit a short side stunner right in front of on the short side. It was a quick left turn. I forget exactly when. It was probably like in 2019 or something like that against him. But we could do it. Like I believed in them that we knew how to be able to beat them down. And I'm really happy with obviously how everything turned out.
Just a little bit of breaking news as well. Have you seen the Crawley and Leeds score?
No, because I switched to the other game.
You might want to switch back because Crawley are 3-0 up.
You gotta be shitting
me. Fucking kidding.
No, 3-0.
I left it at 50 minutes.
That's unbelievable.
Wow.
I did have it on in the background.
They scored on the 50th minute, Kev, and the 53rd minute and the 70th.
But it's literally the second I switched off.
Yeah, 3-0. Amazing. As we saw Kev Gineppo come off for Teller and, you know, with that hamstring injury. But, Kev, it must be difficult to play our usual game against a team like Liverpool because, you know, our style of pressing with the talent that Liverpool have, you're always going to have to work incredibly hard knowing that they, you know, they're going to see the majority of the ball, especially when they're chasing the game so early on. But press we did, and perhaps we should have taken the lead or we should have doubled the lead when Teller found a little flick from Ings, a little header. And every time I see that chance, it just seems to get worse because, oh, God, man, he should be hitting the target there at least. What a chance that was.
Yeah, that's disappointing. That would have been his star moment, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was like one or two other opportunities before we finally switched to just game management and trying to defend that lead. But yeah, they only managed one shot on target.
I know.
The whole match.
Yeah.
And that was like that tame Mane effort that straight into Forster's arms.
Yeah.
So
They did have an off game, but we still had to do our job, didn't we? And so like Liverpool had sort of like half chance. You know, Salah had a header. Mane had a shot blocked by Stevens brilliantly, by the way. Nobody does those sliding blocks better than Stevens, I'm convinced. You know, he comes up with them more frequently than any other defender that we have. Yeah. Now then, Liverpool fans angry over the Mane penalty claim. Tim, do they have a point?
No.
Good. I'm glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that.
No. So the I'll split it up into two different areas. One is the shoulder-to-shoulder contact, so that's a no. The second was there. You would see that there might be the leg-on-leg tap, but if you looked closer enough and you saw enough replays and you saw enough people showing that the guy literally tripped himself. So yeah, he hit himself into it.
I think what Liverpool fans are saying is that if you look at it in slow motion, it doesn't do it justice. If you look at it in real time, they're saying that it did look like it was a trip. I'm not with them.
I understand. I understand that it does kind of look like a trip because in the end, he tripped himself.
He did. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad I'm with you on this one. Kev, penalty for you?
No.
Good man. You can talk all you like about Liverpool, you know, on the road recently, not firing, et cetera, but we do need credit for stifling them because, as Kev alluded to, it took Liverpool to the 75th minute to register their first shot on target. Yeah, you heard that right. 75 minutes. Their longest wait for an attempt on target in the league since December 2015. So even in their recent away games, they've created more chances and they've worked. They've worked the keeper, but not against us. It was a defensive masterclass, even though we didn't have a lot. Well, you know, Forster didn't have a lot to do. Kev, Valerie almost had a goal.
Oh, yes.
Jack
brilliant.
Stevens brings the ball out from the back, waiting for a run.
Yeah.
Valerie made it. It was, yeah, that was exciting, wasn't it? I was out of my seat for that.
I mean, just the composure just to pick up that ball and Valerie to make that run. Nutmegs, Alisson, beautifully, but there's just not enough weight on the ball. And Henderson beats him to the line on it. So, yeah, just the 1-0. Yeah, I mean, Hendo, when he needs to, he can work quite well as a centre-back. Yeah, and that was about it, really, wasn't it?
It was. Just had to hang in, didn't we? And, you know, our first league win against Liverpool in 5 years. And it felt amazing. It really did. Three clean sheets in a row for the first time since October 2016. And Ralph's reaction at full-time, we've discussed this in the news. It just says it all. Relief, you know, his plan had worked. Can you just imagine what his halftime team talk was about? After knowing what's going to come, knowing that the inevitable attack is going to, you're just going to have to just sit back and you know, pucker up and get on with it. But just a great job, just amazing. And just think, though, if we'd have managed those maximum points against Fulham and West Ham and how close we would be up to the top of the table by now with that, it would just
be up then?
Well, I mean, we're sixth now, aren't we? 29 points. Do you know, Liverpool have only won one more game than us. Stats, 33% possession. Okay, you expect that. 2 out of 7 shots on target for Liverpool. It was 1 of 17. That's a 6% shot accuracy. That's crap.
How are they so profligate? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Jack fucking Stevens once again with the most touches. Kyle Walker-Peters and Diallo, very effective in pressing stats. Diallo had an excellent game, I thought, actually, marshalling that midfield. Nice performance from Diallo. Tim, is there anything else you want to add to this game?
Man, I just love seeing Trent Alexander-Arnold sucking ass the entire game. I mean, it was for such a significant high-level world star player, he had a terrible game. Absolutely terrible game. That's enough for me shitting on him. Going through that, though, Valerie actually looked kind of good on the wing. That was the other thing, because we knew that he was all about going forward. He'd be, you know, a very good wing back. You know, in our role, in our area, you know, I could see him having that bit in what he, when they brought him on, is that he did play that right attacking midfielder role, but with a heavier defensive presence there. So to me, I can see that as a tactical approach as well, that if we are getting later in the, you know, later in the game and we are up 1-0 and we need to hold, you want somebody who can run and still make those runs as Valerie did. He knew the space and was able to get going forward, but also somebody who's going to have a better defensive approach than sure as hell Gineppo, but even potentially somebody like Redmond or Armstrong, who are there, if they're tired, you can get them in there and you can have just that extra step backwards, but not afraid to get forward in any way. So seeing all those aspects, I like that a lot. I also liked that Stevens has continually slotted in left and right with Benarek, and they've just been a rock star. I'm super happy for Fraser to be able to get back into a game. And his first game back is he clean sheets Liverpool.
Fraser, you got to play Liverpool.
But the last time that we beat Liverpool in the league, he was starting in goal. So that was just seeing all of that, you know, combined with Gineppo looks so damn good too. He was so good because he was exposing Alexander Arnold so much.
Leave the poor man alone.
You got a vendetta, haven't you?
Sorry, you got to shit on somebody at least one. No, but I don't know. Continual efforts from the rest of the team all throughout it. Diallo slotted in well. Walker Peters getting forward. I mean, I'm very happy with how things turned out. And overall, very, very, very happy. And even Abby was yelling and screaming, saying, "What? We beat Liverpool? Yeah!" That's really cool too to feel.
Excellent.
That I've got her into it as well.
Good man, Kevin. Anything you want to add?
Fucking well done, lads. Fuck club.
Yeah. Welcome back, Kevin. Welcome back. We are now the only team in Premier League history to beat all seven winners of the competition in the season following their title win. So love that stat. Incredible. And also, guys, yeah, also 100% record in 2021. Magic.
I'm sure we'll see that end quite soon.
Man of the match, then.
I'm going to give it to Ingsy on his 50th goal. Very important goal against his former club. I mean, a little bit of a muted celebration, but he did look very, very happy to be back and scoring. There are other candidates. Obviously, yeah, holding a 1-0 lead against Liverpool for 90-plus minutes. But defenders deserve some plaudits. Fraser Forster had fuck all to do.
He had to put a leg out when Salah was on, but that ended up being out offside, didn't it? But he didn't know that.
Yeah,
it was beautiful, though. It was absolutely beautiful.
Very good.
I mean, you guys, he's 6'7", and he just wings it with his right foot and gets enough of a hell of a touch, too, on it. He didn't know what was going on.
If I had done that, I would have pulled my groin for sure.
Yeah. So
I would have, too. I would have pulled your groin. Yeah, I know Foster's still got it, clearly. But, I think plaudits have to go with any of the back four. But, yeah, I'm still going to give it to Ingsy. I've got a sneaky feeling that you're not both going to.
I'm not. No, I'm going to. Oh, wait, I think there's a case for Diallo as well. Kyle Walker-Peters. But I think I'll go with KWP. Just being tasked with dealing with Mane is something that every defender in the world would find a struggle, except Kyle Walker-Peters, because he did a number on him. What player? What sign-in as well? You know, best. He was the best at pressing, most interceptions, best passing completion, 3 successful dribbles too, which led the team. But Diallo was an ace too. I thought he was great. It looks, you know, he needs more time. But I'm going to give it to Kyle Walker-Peters. Excellent, excellent.
All right, so I've got two. There's the, you know, the skill and the success. And then there's the sentimental, because Walker Peters, he played absolutely fantastic. It's progressive passing. He's got sprayed balls again from Stevens like he did from Vestergaard. He didn't stop. He put Mane in his pocket so many times. Oh, it was just a wonderful game. I love seeing it. And, you know, in terms of a straight swap for players, I'm happy to hear PEH is doing well. Didn't really like how he left, but more power to him. But what they did is they put people in places in that – gave him the opportunity to succeed, and he succeeded here super well. That, you know, he's just ranking up on the depth chart of right backs in England, which is a very hard thing to do because of all the success of them. And so continually left and right, he's been successful. He's been consistent. I love the guy. Props to him. Sentimental choice is obviously going to be Fraser here. Hasn't been widely documented, but there's a lot, obviously it's seen that there's been some mental health items when it comes to Fraser. Had sort of a breakdown, went back to Celtic, definitely regained his confidence, and then his reason was for staying here. I'm happy that he is back here. He's comfortable in his role and hasn't said anything or done anything wrong. He wants to play. Got his chance against the biggest team in England. Took it, had his, you know, and blank sheeted them and said, "Screw you. No goals let in." Regardless if there was one shot, he played well, commanded the box, and he's just a mean son of a bitch. He looks mean when he plays, and I love it. and more power to him, and wish him all the best and continued success, whether it be with us on the bench or any other opportunities if McCarthy is out or wherever he goes next.
Just can't wait to get on the road again.
The long and winding road.
Leicester City's Kung Pao Stadium.
Okay then, chaps, we head out to the King Power next week, Saturday the 16th of January, and a late one, 8 p.m. kickoff, live on BT Sport, where we face Leicester City. But before we get there, let's get the important stuff out of the way first. Played for both. I've got three names here. Who's played for both?
I have no clue. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
Some positions.
We got a goalkeeper, an American goalkeeper.
Casey Keller.
Casey Keller. Well done. The other one I got is Matt Oakley, a massive one. And, of course, Dean Hammond.
Oh, Matt Oakley. Yeah. And Dean Hammond.
Dean Hammond, yeah. Famous fans. I've got three here. Name one of them.
Gary Lineker.
Yeah, he is one of mine. He's the top of my
list. The entire band, Kasabian.
They're also on my list. I've got anyone from Kasabian. And I've got one more.
The entire country of Thailand.
That's a good point.
Pretty much. King of Thailand.
Oh. Yeah. No, the other one I got is obviously Mark Selby.
Oh, yeah.
The jester from Leicester. Right. Back to the match then. Quite a big one, this, I think. The current table suggests that we are rivals for a Champions League place. 3 points clear with a superior goal difference of 3 for Leicester. They've won more than us, but they've also lost more than us, too. So they are undefeated since December the 16th, that home loss to Everton. Since then, big win at Spurs, back-to-back draws with United and Palace, followed by a 2-1 win at Newcastle. Jamie Vardy banging them in, as usual. 11 in the league so far. Harvey Barnes emerging as a real talent and a threat. James Maddison improving still. Got lots of weapons, and they look really, really strong in that defensive midfield position too. Surprisingly, we have a decent record at the King Power. Last two meetings, we come out 2-1. Victors, both of them. And before that, it was a goalless draw. So, but they have our number at St. Mary's, as everyone is well aware. An intriguing match, this one. I just want us at our best because, you know, if that happens, we can be a match for them. But undoubtedly, there'll be favourites for sure. Guys, Kevin, I'll start with you. What do you think? What do you think of Leicester?
I mean, they've been surprisingly good this season. Haven't they made the really good start to the season, and they've had a little bit of a dip, but they're right back up in those Champions League places now. And I'm amazed every season that Jamie Vardy can just keep banging them in for fun.
His pace as well doesn't seem to be stopping, does it?
Yeah, he doesn't get old, does he? So he's definitely a threat. And yeah, I've got those youngsters that you mentioned, Ty Barnes, Madison, Brendan Rodgers seems to be doing a very good job there.
They're a very settled side, aren't they?
Definitely, definitely. But the one thing that I fear the most is the number of times that they're going to mention one particular match.
Do you know what? I've got a challenge for both of you chaps. Like, I was going to take an over-under on how many times they mentioned the 9-0. So I will give you... Four.
During the game?
During the whole, during the whole production.
Coverage.
During the whole coverage. I'm going to give you four.
Who's taking it?
So this is on coverage? This is on BT Sport, so it's probably going to be Steve McManaman and Michael Owen as the Cullen commentators. So I'm going to give you four. You go over or under?
Over.
Is it going to be mentioning the match or the scoreline? Are we just going to go for the scoreline?
Both. I think both, because sometimes...
Well, even alluding to it after
Match.
Then it's... Then I'm going to take...
What they do now is they say five. Okay, they say, we're not allowed to mention that match. So that counts.
I'll take over. I'll take over.
All right. So if I was to say I'll give you five, are you going to go over or under?
Oh no, I would take under just for the. Well, I was going to push at four, so yeah. I'd go beyond that.
I reckon nine, like more than five at least. So six or more.
So you're both going over four.
Do I win?
I would take five is my is my number.
Okay. I'm gonna say four. Predictions then. I'm gonna start you off. I'm going to go 9-0 Saints. No, I'm going to go 2-1 Leicester.
Oh, right. I've written down exactly the same thing. Fuck it. I'm going to say the same. 2-1 Leicester.
I'll take 1-1. And Vardy is going to play some ridiculous ball, you know, tap it in out of his three touches in 90 minutes. He'll tap it in off of a beautiful cross from Madison or somebody like that. And then I don't think it'll be Ings score. It'll be probably something like an Armstrong deflected pass in or pass or
Kyle Walker-Peters, a mazy run from the right back position. Does a Maradona.
Nah, I don't think he'll do that. But
so you're a chew on goal.
They'll have like 60-40 possession. They'll have twice as many shots. And we'll finish 1-1.
I'll take it. I'll take that draw. Okay, right. I'm just going to go to wife wars then, because predictions for the Leicester game. And then we'll go into the scores from last time. Gemma is going for a 2-1 win to Saints.
Marina's also going for a 2-1 Saints win.
Wow. Okay. A 2-1 Saints win. Brilliant. Abby is going for
2-0 Saints win.
So our wives are going for Saints to win. Me and you, Kev, are going for a Leicester win, and Tim's going for a draw. Scores from last week, then. We didn't do a show for the West Ham one, so we didn't produce our Liverpool predictions, but I was going to go for a 1-0 Saints win.
No. So was I.
Okay. No, but results from West Ham. Gemma actually went 0-0 with West Ham. And she got it spot on. Marina went 2-0 Saints and Abby went 1-0 Saints. So Gemma was spot on, leaving the scores. Gemma now in the lead on 11, Marina on 9 and Abby on 4. Yes, and that's about it for this week from Tim.
Thank you so much, guys. It's good to be back and I hope you're all well rested and ready for some more games in the near future. Hopefully, I'm really hoping they're actually able to reschedule the Shrewsbury Town game. I do want to see some of the rotation in youth play. I think it'd be great for Foster to get another game in, Forster. I want Salisu to start. I want to see him play, and I want to see a couple other youth team players out there. I want Vokin to get his chance at left back, and yeah. I just want to, there's a few others too that I'm really desperate to get a full 90 minutes in.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Thanks again, mate, and we'll speak to you next week.
As always, thank you so much.
Cheers, mate.
Have a good one, Tim.
Hi, I'm Matt Letitia. Thank you for listening to In That Number.
Okay, welcome back to Extra Time. We start, as usual, with the predictions. Kev, we all went 1-1 with West Ham, did you know? All three of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So 2 points to all of us. So that leaves the scores. Me on 28, Tim on 19, and you on 10. You've gone to double digits. Double digits? Wow. Double digits.
Diggity diggits.
Super Six, three rounds to catch up on. Round 24 was won by Tom Hennigan with 17 points. Round 25 was a three-way tie with Freddie from the Ugly Inside, Yasmin Wiseman and Russ Sayers on 17. Round 26 was yesterday and we had Andrew Knight on 14 points. Now, overall, we have a tie at the top. Tom Hennigan and Freddie from the Ugly Inside on 218 points. Kev, no fantasy football this week because obviously it's third round week, but we could take the time to catch up on what
I think it's worth a little update. I just want to give the Manager of the Month award for December to our very own Tim Bysants.
He's
a huge fuck goat. Picked up 399 points in December. Is that right? Fucking hell.
It's a good month, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah, well done. He's right up there now. Both him, Freddie, and Matt Markstone, they've all got over 1,000 points.
Well done.
I don't want to talk about my team.
No, I don't want to talk about my team. Although I will say one thing, Kev. I used my triple captain on Kane. Spurs were at home to Fulham, and the game was postponed. And I lost my triple captain because of it.
Oh, right. When was that? That was week 16, was it?
Yeah, I purposely picked that one out, and I thought, that's when I'm going to use my triple captain. If Kane's healthy, Spurs are at home to Fulham, he's going to have a field day, and they bloody postponed it, and I've used my triple captain, and I can't get it back.
Doesn't it get carried over to your vice-captain?
I don't know, does it?
Yeah, who was Calvert-Lewin, who also didn't play. Oh, dear. But yeah, to be honest, I used my triple captain on Kane on a day where he didn't score anything.
Okay.
So, you know, I think it's, you know, it's kind of 50-50, a bit of a crapshoot, isn't it? But, very crap in my case. But yeah, that last game week, I had a surprisingly good round. I had Son captain, and he bagged me 26 points. So that left me with a very respectable 66. But now
I got 71. Kev.
Wow. Mm. Also, you put Kane captain. Yeah, that worked out nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Bruno Fernandes, James Maddison. But I mean, the next game week, fuck me, very difficult. I've had to use one of my chips, my wild card, because there's just so many. There's only six matches next game week. And yeah, then there's a huge double game week the week after, so definitely going to prepare for that one.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Good advice. Cheers.
Sorry, I'm just here to help a friend.
Okay. Russian phrase this week?
Okay. Slyozy radosti.
Slyozy radosti.
Slyozy.
Slyozy radosti. And that means?
Mm-hmm. Tears of joy.
Tears of joy. That's great. Next week, we shall be reviewing our trip to Leicester and previewing our game at Elland Road, where we take on Leeds. Very much looking forward to that one. There's that one's got like, I don't know, a 4-4 written all over it, I think. It's going to be it's going to be a
banger.
Yeah. We also have a special guest, the return of everyone's favourite Greg Kaplan, to have a chat about the Leicester game and some light relief from all the crap that is plaguing the world right now. So, you know, stay tuned for that. It will be a gem, I promise. But until then, Franny, what do you have to say?
Up the Saints.
It's up the Saints from me.
And it's up the Saints from him.
You're fired.